All right. I got the great privilege of giving the word of the Lord this morning. We are, if you're new here, we're going through a series called Heroes of the Faith. We've been walking through a ton of different heroes of the faith, mainly based out of Hebrews 12, where it says that we have a great cloud of witnesses in heaven that are championing us and said, you can do it. You can do it. We have gone before you. We have been victorious. And they are championing us from heaven. So we've been going through this series on heroes of the faith, and this morning, who we're going to be looking at is the life of Samuel. Samuel is one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. He is the one who anointed David as king of Israel. He anointed Saul. He was a prophet. He was the last judge of Israel. And we got so much that we can learn from him. I'm going to go through a quick overview of his life. And then we'll go from there. One of the things I wanted to highlight, actually, before we get into that, is in the big picture, what we can learn from these great men and women of faith, and what we have been learning from these great men and women of faith, is that none of these men and women that we look up to in Scripture were perfect. They are not written down in Scripture for us to learn about their perfection. They're written down in Scripture so that we learn about their pursuit. These were men and women of God who were not known for perfection, but they were known for their pursuit. Their pursuit of God's heart, their pursuit of faithfulness, their pursuit of dedicating their lives over to something greater than themselves, dedicating their lives to God. And then walking in faith. Faith is the substance of things unseen. These were men and women who walked in faith, who believed God for something greater that was beyond themselves. They believed God for something that they knew they couldn't accomplish in and of themselves. They believed, all of them, what they have in common is that they believed God for amazing things that only he could accomplish. When we look at these great heroes of the faith, they're not supposed to teach us about how amazing they are. They're supposed to teach us about how great our God is. And that's exactly what we're going to learn from the life of Samuel as well. So, quick overview of Samuel's life, just to kind of refresh us of who this man was, amazing man, is Samuel's life can be found in the book of 1 Samuel. It starts with his mother, Hannah, pleading with God to give her a son. She's at the temple. She's crying. She's pleading with God because she can't have a son. Eli, who's the head priest of the time, comes over to Hannah and actually thinks she's drunk. And he rebukes her and says, "How dare you come into the temple drunk?" And she goes, No, I'm not drunk. I'm just begging God for a son. And I've told God that if he gives me a son, that I will dedicate him to the Lord for the Lord's purposes." And so Eli blesses Hannah and says, "May it be so. May it be what you have asked the Lord." So Hannah ends up giving birth to a son, and the Lord blesses her with actually, I think, 3 sons and 2 daughters. And she follows through on the promise that she made to the Lord, and she dedicates Samuel to serve to the Lord with serving Eli, the head priest, in the temple. Okay. And so Samuel grows up under the tutelage of Eli, this great man of God, this prophet to the nation of Israel, and he grows up in the temple in the presence of the Lord. Now, it's not all roses in the temple. Eli's sons are called scoundrels in Scripture. Eli's sons are sleeping with women in the temple. They're stealing food from the altar. They're doing all tons of horrific, horrible things in the temple. And actually, the Lord rebukes Eli for allowing them to do all these things and not scolding his sons and disciplining his sons. So a couple notable facts in Samuel's life, just to remind us. Israel was at war with the Philistines. This is the whole time period of David and Goliath, right? Okay, Israel asks Samuel. They say, "We want to be like all the other nations. Give us a king." And Samuel says, "No, the Lord doesn't want to give you a king. He wants to be your king. He wants to be the one that rules you." And the people beg and they plead and they say, no, we don't want We don't want the Lord to be our king. We want to be like all the other nations. Give us a king. And so the Lord appoints Saul. Saul was the tallest and the most handsome man in the land. That's what it says. And when the people saw Saul, they went, yes, now that's a king. That's what we want. And so God gives the Israelites what they asked for. How many of you know? Not sometimes it's good that God doesn't give us what we ask for. I think there's a country song written about that. Anyways, God gives the nation of Israel what they asked for, a king. And of course, Saul makes a bunch of mistakes, and then Samuel anoints David. Samuel was not only the spiritual leader of the land, he was not only the judge, he was the last judge of Israel, but he was also, this is something we neglect when we think about Samuel's story. Samuel was also an incredibly feared military leader. In fact, in 1 Samuel, it says that the Philistines were so afraid of Samuel because it was said that the Lord was with Samuel, that they would not attack Israel as long as Samuel was alive. So Samuel was an incredibly feared military leader, even from the Philistines. When Samuel would come into town, like when Samuel came to anoint David, it was like the president. It was the most powerful man in the land coming to your little tiny hometown, right? This judge, this military leader. And when Samuel actually goes to the house of David's house, the whole town, the elders of the town gather and they're like, what did we do? They're terrified because Samuel has come to their hometown. That's the aura that Samuel carried in his life. And here's where I want to go this morning. When I was asking the Lord, what is the big picture? What can we learn from the life of Samuel? There's so many stories in Samuel's life that we can learn. What in the big picture is the big takeaway that we want to learn? And I felt like the Lord said, Daniel, I want to remind you that his power came from his faithfulness. His power came from his integrity. His power came because he listened and he obeyed everything that I gave to him. Samuel is actually one of the very few characters in Scripture where it says that he was faithful to the Lord as a youth and as an old man. You look at the life of David. David makes tons of crazy mistakes. You look at a lot of these heroes of the faith, Abraham and Moses, tons of crazy mistakes, murder and adultery and all this crazy stuff. Samuel is one of the very, very few characters that we see in Scripture who remained faithful to the Lord from a child to a gray-haired old man. And that's what I want to leave you guys with today. I want to ask you guys, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your legacy to be? When you become a gray-haired or bald-headed old man or woman, what do you want written about you? See, I think we grew up in a culture where we don't ask about legacy. We don't ask about the future. Everything in our culture, right, is told immediate gratification, instant gratification. Do what pleases you today. Grab a hold of money and fame and fortune, right? Like scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or anything on social media, do you see anything that celebrates faithfulness and integrity? No. Do you see anything that challenges you to ask the Lord for a legacy or to live like a faithful old man or faithful woman? Nothing. Everything in our culture nowadays is for instant gratification. Do what pleases you now. Samuel is the opposite of this. Samuel was a man whose legacy mirrored his dedication. Samuel was a man whose legacy mirrored his dedication. He was dedicated in the temple by his mother, and then he continued to live a life of dedicating himself day after day after day after day. And he's one of the very few men in Scripture that we see was faithful to the Lord from a child into an old man. I want to ask you, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be written about you? Faithfulness and integrity are not very sexy words in our culture, I would say. Everything is talking about instant gratification. Me and my family were in Maui recently, and we were standing in a TSA line, and there was this woman in front of us, and she had this T-shirt on, and it said, do whatever makes your soul happy. Do whatever makes your soul happy. And it had that nice little scripty font, you know, that you put on your wall or whatever. and I turned to my wife, I turned to Esther, and I said, that's the dumbest T-shirt I've ever seen in my life. I was like, you know what make me really happy? And it's a joke. I was joking, okay? The first service didn't get the joke. They looked at me in horror. And I told, but this is what I said. I leaned over to my wife and I said, you know what would make my soul really happy right now? Drop kicking little puppies. It's a joke. I don't want to drop kick puppies, okay? The point is there's a lot of things that would make our soul happy that would not be good things to do, right? You know what would make my soul really happy? Would be driving as fast as I can on the highway, right? How many men or women in here would love to drive as fast as they can on the highway, right? At any time, okay. Literally everybody raised their hands. Okay, sorry, we might have a problem. No. You know what would make me really happy? When I make my soul happy, in the first service, my friend Johnny, who's a surfer, I said, you know what would make my soul happy is if I just dropped in on Johnny every single wave. Or Chris Lieto. Oh, I'd just love to burn Chris Lieto on a wave at Banyan's. That'd be just amazing. That would make my soul happy. There's a lot of things, right, that would make our soul happy in immediate gratification that would not be good things to do. They would not be integrous things to do. They would not be righteous things to do. But isn't that our culture right now? That's our society right now. If there is a T-shirt that carries the what our culture is screaming at us from television and social media and the press and every which way, it's that T-shirt. Do whatever makes your soul happy. And I want to tell you that is, in the long run, there is a pleasure that is waiting for us of a lifetime of faithfulness and integrity that doesn't even compare to the little tiny pleasures of today. This morning, I want to elevate faithfulness. I want to elevate, and I want to challenge us to look into the future, to have an eternal perspective, to have a lifelong perspective, to challenge men here to be the old man who is known for his faithfulness and his integrity, not because of his conquests. The women in the room to be known as faithful women of God, beautiful, wise women of God at an elderly age. That's what we want to be known for. There's a couple promises. I'm just going to run through a couple scriptures that talk about the promises of integrity and faithfulness. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." So his eyes are looking for people whose hearts are committed to him, and he wants to strengthen you. Proverbs 2:7-8 says, "He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." Proverbs 27, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, his children are blessed forever." Isn't that good? You can know what your legacy will be by what you dedicate yourself to today. You will know what your legacy will be by what you dedicate yourself to today. I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel 1, 24 to 28. 1 Samuel 1, 24 to 28. After he was weaned, this is Samuel, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord. As sure as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. In chapter 1, Samuel was dedicated to the Lord as a child by his mother, and he would continue to dedicate himself to the Lord throughout his life. I want to ask you this morning, what have you dedicated your life to? What have you dedicated your life to? Dedication means to be devoted to a task or a purpose, having single-minded loyalty or integrity. Recently, I signed up for this race. It's a prone paddling race called the Molokai Channel Race, where you paddle from Molokai to Oahu in between the channel. And then it got canceled, and I was training with my friends almost every single day. I was really excited about this race. If you grew up in Hawaii, it's kind of like on your bucket list. You've got to do if you grew up in the ocean. And then COVID happened, and then, like everything this year, disappointment, and and they canceled the race. And I was super disappointed. I stopped training. I went on vacation. I got out of shape, you know, and then my friend calls me, and he's like, "Hey, there's a virtual race. Let's do the virtual race." And I was like, "I don't want to do the virtual race. Like, it's just not the same. Like, I want to go to Molokai, and then I want to paddle, and, you know, and I want the t-shirt. I want to put the plaque on my wall." And he's like, "No, come on, let's just do it." And so, you know, I'm grateful to my friend. He kind of forced me into signing up for the virtual race. And so I've been training. And actually, Chris and Kara saw me yesterday. And he's like, "Are you going to go surfing?" I'm like, "No, I got to train." But any of you who know Chris is a professional athlete, or if you're married to a professional athlete, you know the dedication it takes to be a professional athlete. The dedication it takes every single day to wake up and do things that you don't want to do, or to put things aside that may be good things in order to accomplish something that's great. Dedication not only means doing things that you don't want to do, but it also means not doing certain things in order to accomplish something greater in the end. So I want to ask you, what have you dedicated your life to? Are you dedicated primarily to your job, to your career? What have you given your life to? Are you primarily dedicated to maybe your children, maybe your spouse? It's a good thing, but is it the greatest? Have you dedicated yourself to pleasure? Grabbing a hold of every day's pleasure. Your legacy will mirror your dedication. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." See, being dedicated to your family, being dedicated to your children, being dedicated to your career, being dedicated to all of these really good things, these are good things, but it's not the highest. We dedicate ourselves fully to the Lord, and then he allows us to be faithful, and he gives us the strength to be faithful in our families and in our careers and with our children. All right. So how do we stay dedicated? How did Samuel stay dedicated, right? He was dedicated by his mother at an early age, but But then it says that throughout his life, he stayed dedicated to the Lord. He stayed faithful as a man of integrity to the Lord. What can we learn from Samuel? The first thing I want to challenge you guys with is Samuel made no excuses. Samuel made no excuses. Sometimes we can tell ourselves, don't you understand where I grew up and how hard it was? Don't you understand, like, I got so much pressure in my job. I got so much pressure in my career to accomplish what I need to accomplish. And I got to do anything. I got to do what it takes to accomplish the goal. So sometimes I have to make little compromises. I have to do things a little bit shady because that's how I accomplish the goal in the end. Samuel made no excuses. Samuel was living in the height of Philistine power in the time of David and Goliath. This was a time when the nation of Israel was terrified about these people who wanted to kill them and attack them and enslave them. If any person had an excuse to cave into the pressure, it was Samuel. Samuel had every reason to give into fear and to compromise. Fear can be a very powerful force that can lead to our compromise. But Samuel also knew that he had a higher power that was fighting for him. And he leaned into that daily. Another excuse we can say is, you don't understand my family, how I grew up. You don't understand my brothers, my sisters, my dad, my mom. You don't understand. Samuel grew up in a household where the scripture says that his brothers, his stepbrothers, were scoundrels. He grew up in a completely dysfunctional family. The Lord rebukes Eli, his father figure in his life, for not disciplining his children and allowing them to do all these terrible and horrible things in the temple. Samuel grew up in a completely dysfunctional family. So how did he stay dedicated? He knew that there was a greater reward in the end. There was a greater reward of faithfulness in the end. Number two is something really practical. How did he stay dedicated? Number two is he stayed in community. One of the most practical ways that we can stay faithful, that we can live lives of integrity, is to stay in community. And one of the greatest attacks of the enemy on all of our lives is to actually remove us and isolate us from community. Me and my son are real avid bow hunters, okay? And so we love to go up into the mountains and we hunt sheep and deer and goats. And one of the main things that we look for when we're hunting is we try and find the lone sheep. We try and find that lone male ram who has isolated himself from the flock. And if we can find that lone ram, the chances of us getting meat on the table for our family, like, exponentially grows because he doesn't have the safety of the community. If you've ever seen animals when they eat in herds, especially deer, they kind of put their heads down, and like half of them put their heads down and the other half are like this. Just like on edge. They're like on crack, like, danger, danger, danger. And then half of them put their heads down and eat. Oh, okay, we're good, we're good. And they put the half of them that are eating are relaxed because they know that there's the other half of the tribe is looking out for danger. But as a hunter, I look for the deer that have isolated themselves. And I can tell you what, our enemy is a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour, and he will do whatever it takes to isolate you from the community, to isolate you from friends, to isolate you from family, to isolate you from those who truly care about you, who truly want the best for you, and who can protect you, who can speak into your life. If you've been tempted to just go, you know what, I'm done with church. I'm done with this accountability thing. I'm done with home group. This person said this about me and this, blah, blah, blah. Just know that's the enemy trying to isolate you, to pick you off. The enemy has whispered that in my ear I mean, that's not a new thing. But I've seen those who stay in community have a much better chance of faithfulness and integrity in the long term than those who isolate themselves. Okay. Lastly, and this is the real reason I really believe that Samuel was able to live a life of faithfulness and integrity, is that it's found in 1 Samuel 2:21. 1 Samuel 2:21 says, "And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." Samuel grew up in the presence of God. Samuel understood the tangible reality of the presence of God. One of the reasons, and actually the main reason that I believe that Samuel was able to stay faithful to the Lord, was because he knew, he grew up from a young boy, knowing the voice of the Lord, hearing the voice of the Lord, knowing the presence of God. He was surrounded by worship. He was surrounded by daily the presence of God. He knew who God was as a faithful father. He knew who God was as a mighty warrior. He knew who God was, that his mercies were new every morning. He knew the grace of God that was sufficient for every day. And he knew all of this because he was surrounded and he grew up in the presence of God. It's interesting, the Bible doesn't say that his brothers grew up in the presence of God. I think this was a choice that Samuel made at a young age, to put himself in a place where he would experience the pleasures of the presence of God. And he understood that that pleasure was greater than anything that the world could ever offer. And that's what gave him the grace and the power to say no to some things and to say yes to greater things. First Samuel 3:1 says, "The boy ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions." So while Eli's brothers were stealing food from the altar and sleeping with women in the temple, Samuel was ministering to the Lord. He was worshiping. Samuel was dedicated to the Lord and continued to dedicate himself in the presence of God, even though he was surrounded by a culture that was corrupt, surrounded by enemies that wanted to attack. He knew that the answer was to place himself in the presence of God, to place himself in worship. So I want to challenge us this morning to elevate faithfulness and integrity in our minds, to dwell on what it would look like, not for immediate pleasures of today, but what would it look like to be a bald or gray-haired old man? What is written about your legacy is that you were faithful, that you were integrous. I also want to remind you that God is faithful, even when we're not. God is faithful, even when we're not. And this is what we can learn from these great men and women of faith. All of these great men and women of faith are not known for their perfection. They're known for their pursuit of the glory of the Lord. The Lord is faithful, and he will accomplish his work in our hearts if we allow him to, if we focus our hearts and our mind on him. I also want to acknowledge that there might be a lot of you here, or some of you here, who are saying to yourself as I'm talking, you're saying, "Daniel, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've done yesterday." But I want to let you know that the beauty of the grace of God is that his mercies are new every morning, and that his grace is sufficient for today. that there is a blessing. The Bible calls repentance actually a gift. He calls repentance this gift that he gives to us in order for us to reap the rewards of his presence, reap the rewards of the things that he wants to give us as we live lives of faithfulness and integrity. As we have an eternal perspective. So I just want to challenge you in the grace of God and with as much compassion as I can, that today could be a day of repentance. Today can be a day of breakthrough, where from this moment forward, you make a choice to dedicate your life to the Lord, to dedicate your life every single morning to him, forgetting the past and looking toward the future. Today could be the day that you elevate and you go a counterculture to what your culture tells you, and you live for eternity, and you live to be faithful to the end. God, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for your grace in our life. I want to thank you so much for what you teach us with Samuel. God, I want to ask, even now, just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's any of you here who, I want to give you the opportunity, if you've never truly dedicated your life to the Lord, everything, not just as a good luck charm, not just because my parents were Christians, not because, if you've never dedicated your life to the Lord, I just want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. If that's you, I just want to invite you to just raise your hand. We had a few people raise their hands this morning in the first service, which, praise God. I also want to give the opportunity, if this is hitting you, if the enemy has been whispering lies in your head that wants to remind you of your past, I just want to give you the opportunity to rededicate your life to the Lord this morning. I believe Samuel was a man after God's heart, and he was faithful to the end, and he lived a life of integrity because he daily dedicated his life to the Lord. So if that's you right now, I just also want you to just raise your hand and if you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord. God, we thank you so much for your mercy, for your grace. This morning, we take the time to remember who you are, your faithfulness, to receive the gift of repentance, and also stand in your presence and say, God, we dedicate our lives. We dedicate our minds, our hearts, and our hands to you. And we acknowledge that there is a greater pleasure, there is a greater reward in the end that is far surpasses anything that the world could give to us as pleasures for today. Remind us of this truth. Remind us of this as we wake up. Remind us that your mercies are new every morning. Teach us what it means to daily be in your presence. So thankful for your Holy Spirit this morning. Amen.